Ladies and gentlemen, this is Killer Cross. Please do not notify the police. Your signal has been interrupted. You are now listening to Rock and Wrestling Local 420. Tuck your chin, please, sir. Thank you.
Wow, what a fantastic gift.
I realize the title of your show, Rock and Wrestling Local 420. And I'm going to take that idea and go extreme.
Alrighty then, this is Phil Nershey of the String Cheese Incident coming to you from up in the Windy Mountain. I'm here joining Cosmic Chris on the Rock and Wrestling Local 420.
This is the big ugly J.D. Bishop, and if you're not listening to Rock and Wrestling Local 420, you must be stupid!
Hey dear radio buddies, it's me, Max Volume. You are listening to Rock and Wrestling and Local 420 with Cosmic Chris.
Hey, this is Chad of the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling Podcast. When you're done listening to my show, head on over and listen to the Rock and Wrestling Local 420, and I guarantee you will not be disappointed.
Hey, folks, I got a name for you, one of the greatest podcasts in podcasts alive today. They don't call you a great podcast. They call you Rock and Wrestling in Local 420. Beat it if you can.
Hey, welcome to the show. This is the show that comes to you every week that talks about the gossip and the hearsay and the news and all the stuff all around the world in rock and roll, wrestling, and marijuana. So, before I get into the news this week, I just wanted to, you know, talk candidly about, you know, we're getting ready for Thanksgiving, and, you know, I want everyone to have an awesome Thanksgiving, because right now, these are trying times, and I'm going to say something in a little bit about an opinion that Ted Nugent shares about Thanksgiving, which basically, you know, he's just saying, I'm not letting the government, you know, say, call, you know, order who comes to my family and who comes to my Thanksgiving, you know. And I kind of agree and disagree, you know, in certain parts, because we all, like I said, are going through this. And I know not everyone agrees. Not everyone feels the same way about things. I just want everyone to have a safe and happy Thanksgiving. And, you know, just, there are so many people out there right now, and this is what I'm getting to, that suffer from major depression and major problems. And all I can say is, again, if you feel you need help, reach out to somebody, anybody. Google a suicide hotline. Call a friend. Call somebody that you think might actually care. Because we're all not alone. And last week, I had one of my breakdowns, and it sucked. And it was really, really bad. And I again attempted suicide. And I know that's a big statement right now, because it's just what I was going through. And it's really hard to talk about. I'm not going to get into the details. But, you know, I'm lucky to have my foster son and my nephew here, who I love and care about, because it's, we all have somebody. And you may not think you have somebody, but you do. Even if it's a stranger, if you feel alone, just reach out. That's all I can say. And I know, like, I just kind of dropped a bomb on my audience, but I feel I have to be candid and real about this, because this ain't some gimmick. And every week I go through, trying to keep a roof over my kids' head and food in their bellies and in my belly too, I mean, and I'm a fat motherfucker. Don't get me wrong. But, it's hard because I am going to karma boxes and food boxes and, food banks and stuff, and trying to save whatever money I can so we don't get kicked out of our apartment. And so I just want everyone to have a safe and happy Thanksgiving. And, there are so many restrictions right now about how many people you can have in your house and how many, COVID is out there, but we can't do anything about it unless we stay safe, wash our hands, mask up. And if you're an anti-masker, you're an anti-masker. I don't know. Just do what you feel keeps you safe. And if you don't want to have a large Thanksgiving this weekend and you just want to stay home, then do that. If you want to have some sort of Thanksgiving, try to stay as safe as possible. Because I'll tell you what, both me and my nephew got sick on Thanksgiving Day last year. And I think he was kind of sick a couple days before, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yeah, you were sick a couple days before. I got sick on Thanksgiving Day. I was fine the night before. So, I want to be able to have a good Thanksgiving with my family this week. And I want you to, too. And so with that said, be as safe as possible. And if you're struggling, reach out to someone. There's always someone there, I guarantee you. All right, into some rock and roll news. Because I don't want to start off with a total downer just because I'm airing my personal business. But, I do suffer, and I know other people suffer too. So one way to make everyone feel better, let's talk about music, because that's the thing that keeps me going, music and my pro wrestling. And it sucks right now because we can't go to concerts. We can't go see live sporting events. But hey, we can still talk about it. We can still talk about what's going on. Starting off with Perry Farrell has had a major spinal surgery, and because of that, his voice box was removed. I have no idea. I don't know nothing about voice boxes. So I don't know if it could have been put back. I mean, obviously, because he says he promises new Jane's Addiction music. Hey, I hope that's true. I would love to hear some new Jane's Addiction music. Because apparently he had a whole spinal open to the bone, one of those kind of operations. So hopefully, he gets better and recovers. And I think he will if he's promising new music. Guns N' Roses announced 2021 Australia and New Zealand tour dates. And the thing is, I don't know about Australia, but I know New Zealand was one of those places that was apparently almost untouched by the virus. So hopefully, yeah, they can rock out in New Zealand. I'd love to see them in some weird place like New Zealand, but you know what? That takes money, unless you live in New Zealand. And since, it's down under, you never know. So let's see, what do we got up here? Courtney Love hints that Hole might return. And I'll tell you what, I've only seen Hole once. And I realize who the fuck Courtney Love is. I realize she's been an ugly heroin addict bitch that's just crazy fucking cunty fucking whatever. I get that. But you know what? When I saw Hole, and this was, I'm guessing, 99, probably, something like that. Me and, who I was talking about the last couple weeks, Chef Nikki, who owns Mystic Meals in Hollywood, me and her went to see Hole open up. We saw Monster Magnet, Hole, and Marilyn Manson. And I'll tell you what, I fucking loved Hole. Courtney Love came out looking healthy, beautiful, strong, and just rocked. Nobody was talking shit. Nobody was saying, oh, fuck you, da 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 da. It was just a great fucking concert. And she owned that stage. And so as far as I'm concerned, I've never seen her act like everyone says. Cunty, bitchy, like I've seen it all on TV. Don't get me wrong. I've seen it. I saw her at the Pamela Anderson fucking roast. I also remember her fucking being all fucked up and throwing shit at Madonna when she was being interviewed by Tabitha Soren 20 years ago at the MTV Music Awards. So, like, I've seen shit on TV. But as far as live, when I saw Hole, it was one of the most amazing fucking shows I've ever seen in my life. And the woman is fucking talented. And she can write great music, and I wouldn't mind seeing Hole again. And Slash salutes reborn AC/DC. They're what rock and roll is all about. And I gotta admit, man, fucking they are what fucking rock and roll is about, man. I mean, they are so fucking amazing, dude. They are the epitome of rock and roll, especially right now in a time where rock music is dying out because the awards, none of the awards, I don't care what award it is, shows any sign of wanting rock and roll in their shit and in their performances. And that bugs me because these awards things were built on the rock and roll industry in the 50s and the 60s and even the 70s. And they have their whole, I don't know how to say, performances, their whole careers or whatever, to thank rock and roll. Because nobody would have given a fuck about that unless Elvis shook his ass on the Ed Sullivan Show. Unless the Beatles came out and fucking were the most amazing band on the Ed Sullivan Show. And AC/DC is showing kids again how to still rock. And Slash is telling everyone. And he's like, hey, I wouldn't be Slash unless it was for AC/DC, you know, and bands like that. And so you just gotta love AC/DC, especially now, because right now they are number one in the fucking charts right now in UK, and I believe they're number one in the United States at this point. So kudos to AC/DC for still being the most amazing fucking band in fucking history as far as still around and a major fucking rock act. And speaking of rock acts, hold on real quick. Speaking of rock acts, Kiss promised to light 2020 on fire with a spectacular New Year's Eve live stream gig. Now, this is funny because, you know, I guess the cheapy tickets are like $45 or something like that, on up to almost $1,000 for VIPs, which I guess have some sort of, they have, you'll get for VIP packages, I guess you'll get some sort of online meet and greet. I don't know. But the one thing I noticed that they get for this $1,000 is you get a special laminate. Who the fuck cares about a laminate to a live stream? You know, now if you're actually at a concert, whether the laminate gets you anything or not, it's cool because you're walking around with this cool laminate. So that's fine. I've paid for VIP packages before. No big deal. I'm just saying, when you're at the show, it means something. If you're not at the show and you're watching it live stream, what the fuck does a laminate do except say, hey, I paid $1,000 to watch Kiss on TV. So, but hey, like I said, they promised to light up 2020 on New Year's Eve, so, and go out with a bang, so. Alrighty, on to AC/DC once again. Because now, as of Loudwire, right now, it says AC/DC's Power Up immediately hits number one in 8 countries. So that is pretty fucking cool, man. At least 8 countries, and I'm pretty sure America's probably next, if not already on the list. Okay. Wolfgang Van Halen apparently put out in this interview, not Eddie Trunk, not Howard Stern, just I think the Rolling Stone interview or something, about the backlash he first got when Different Kind of Truth came out, because Michael Anthony wasn't in the band. And he said he didn't take it personally, and he understood, because fans were like, well, how's a reunion without Michael Anthony? And he says, well, at the time, because he's explained this on the Eddie Trunk Show and Howard Stern, that, you know, if it weren't for him, Eddie was in a very bad place at that time. So full of anxiety. He hadn't played since the reunion with, after Gary Cherone, they did a reunion with Sammy Hagar again, and that was not a good one. That was like the final straw where Sammy and Eddie fucking went off on each other. And so by the time Different Kind of Truth came out, it was Wolfie that actually brought everyone together. The reason he felt good about it was because of Wolfie. So it makes sense that, you know, what he did. You know, he wanted to go out with father and son, and there was three members of Van Halen, or three people of Van Halen name. So yeah, you know, and at that point, Michael was playing with Sammy, so, and they were trying to reform with Dave, so you never really know. I mean, he basically just pours his heart out and says, hey, you know, a lot of people didn't know that I'm, like, the reason Different Kind of Truth even came out. So, kudos to Wolfie once again, man. That video and that song, Bax Volume played it tonight on the Big Hairy Library, and man, that song is so fucking good, man. And I can't wait to see Mammoth WVH. So, let's see, what else do we got? 15 years ago, System of a Down released Hypnotize album. So yeah, that's 15 years old. And I've never been a huge System of a Down fan myself. You know, I mean, I like them, don't get me wrong. I don't got anything against System of a Down at all. But like, yeah, Disturbed, System of a Down, they were kind of like those new metal acts that I didn't really care for that much. Not that I didn't care for them, I just wasn't that into them. And it was also timeline. You know, in the early 2000s, I was coming out of a drug addiction. I didn't care about music at all. I didn't care about anything at all. So it's where I was, you know. I wasn't watching wrestling. I wasn't going to see music, you know. I was going through my own issues. So part of that is my fault. You know, had I not been going through that, I probably would have been totally into System of a Down and Disturbed. And looking back on it, I had nothing against them. I thought they were good bands. They just weren't shit that I was into. Same thing with Slipknot. I saw Slipknot a bunch of times when they were coming out, even when I was all fucked up, and I didn't really care. And I learned to like Slipknot later on in life, you know, and I love Slipknot now. I look back on the shows I saw and go, what was I thinking? Slipknot was a great fucking band, you know? They're still a great band. So it's just where my headspace was. But you know what else I've noticed? Okay. As I'm reading this, now we're on to Blabbermouth now, and Doro basically defends playing and driving concerts after, you know, because a few months ago, Rob Flynn from Machine Head said, oh, fuck the drive-ins, that's the stupidest shit I've ever seen. You know what? You can have that opinion, but Doro says, hey, that's the only thing we've got right now. It's better than nothing. And I'll tell you what, I agree. Because, you know, we went and saw Metallica at the drive-in here in Reno, and it was fucking amazing. I loved it. You know, I thought the set list was great. I mean, you kind of figured they would have encored with Enter Sandman, so, like, we kind of left her in that. But they played awesome fucking songs. The entire set list was amazing. And it was a good concert, you know? And, yeah, it was filmed a week or two prior, but I didn't care. It was a fucking good concert. We're still sitting there smoking dubs, drinking, fucking having fun. And, hey, so you know what? I'm a fan of the drive-in concerts. If they do them like Metallica did, then I ain't got a problem, man. Okay. Now, I wanted to say something because this is just me being a shits, you know, kind of. Dean Castronovo said he doesn't know if he could have rejoined Journey had he been asked. Because apparently, when all the shit was going down with Steve Smith and Ross Valerie, Neil Sean had, you know, at least put in a call to him and said, hey, you know, just, we don't know what's going on, but stay tuned, you know, we don't know what we want to do, but I may call you back, I may not call you back, but, you know, just stick by your phone, you know, because at this point, you know, nobody's doing anything. This was pre-pandemic, you know, so he's been with the Dead Daisies for the last couple years, you know, and doing something with, I forgot who else that he said he was doing something with. Oh, the guys in Chicago. One thing I noticed that I wanted to talk about was in this article. Now, this is from Blabbermouth, and it goes to show you that not everyone knows their shit when it comes to fucking saying stuff. And I want to read this to you, because anyone that knows Journey knows this is bullshit. I couldn't believe it when I read it. So it says right here, Castronovo's 17-year tenure with Journey ended in 2015 when the group fired him after his arrest for a variety of charges involving his now wife, including physical abuse, coercion, and lawful use of a weapon. Now, also, mind you, now, I was living in Portland at the time, and he's from Salem. So, I mean, this happened in Salem. I remember watching the news when this happened. And drummer Steve Smith, who first played with Journey from 1973 to 1985, returned to the iconic act following Castronovo's departure, but was fired in March after he was accused by guitarist Neil Sean and keyboardist Jonathan Gain of launching an ill-conceived corporate coup d'etat in an attempt to gain control of the band's name. Now, I digress. I want to reiterate now, what is wrong with that statement? Steve Smith, who first played with Journey from 1973 to 1985. That. Obviously, this fucking idiot who wrote this article did not do his homework or has no idea who the fuck Journey is. Because anyone that knows Journey knows that actually the founding fucking drummer was Prairie Prince in 1973. And from 1974 to 1979, Ainsley Dunbar was the fucking drummer on all that those classic albums. I don't even think Prairie Prince even recorded with them. But he's the founding member, my point is. So all through the 70s, it was Ainsley Dunbar, man. Steve Smith didn't even join him until 1979. And then where it says until 85. He left the band in 86. Like when they started to break up after the Raised on Radio fucking tour. So the reason I wanted to point that out is because, dude, I can't believe that. And it goes on to talk about Dean Castronovo, you know, talking about, you know, if he could or couldn't. But I wanted to point out that out because I have loved Journey my whole life, you know. And when it said 73 to 85, Steve Smith, I about dropped my jaw. I could not even believe that. I was so just, what the fuck, man. Like, I couldn't believe it. It's such a fucking major error. And to do an article on Journey and not have your homework done about who you're actually fucking interviewing, dude. Like I said, I don't know who the guy is. I'm not going to name him by name because it's whatever. But obviously, it wasn't done by an actual Journey fan. Because if it was done by a Journey fan, it would have said Steve Smith, who played with the band from 1979 to 1986. You know what? That's homework. That's doing your homework. That's having the right information for what you're saying. And this is straight up on Blabbermouth. You can find this article. And I encourage any one of my fans to actually go out and look at this and call this motherfucker out. Because it's like, man, you're not even a real Journey fucking fan if you're going to write stupid shit like that, man. Finally, Gunnar Nelson believes musicians should stay out of the political arena. Our job is to entertain. Now, need I remind you what, a month or so ago, I was talking about, Alice Cooper, who had said basically the same kind of shit, and there were all these people that were saying, oh yeah, I agree. But then again, what if your fucking whole thing is about bitching politically? Look at MC5. Look at Rage Against the Machine. Bob Dylan. Fucking, you know, Joni Mitchell. You know, all these people. Woody Guthrie. Arlo Guthrie. You know, the list is fucking endless. Pete Seeger, man. Like, these musicians are known for voicing their political views. If that's their shtick, that's their shtick. Now, there's also the fact that, hey, you know, you can be and cry out about your political views. That's fine. And that doesn't mean you're telling people who to vote for or how to vote. So there, you could look at it from that aspect, too. But then again, there are some people that just don't want to hear it. You know, like Max Volume talks about this interview that he did with... I can't even remember who he was talking about. And, I want to say like Edgar Winner or something, but I know that's not who it is. So don't quote me on it. But he's just talking to him and he's just telling him, oh, this, that, and the other thing. And Max is like, yeah, okay, can we get on with your music? Because I want to talk about that, not your fucking boring ass views on politics. And some people do feel that way. So from the other side of the coin, there are people that just want people to play music, man. They don't want to hear how they feel because you also alienate half your audience. This is why I tell people all the time, just because I hate Trump, don't not vote for him. You know what I mean? Just because I don't like Trump, I'm not going to alienate my audience. You know, if you're going to like me, you're going to like me. Now, if you disagree with me, you disagree with me. That's fine. But then you look at people like, say, hey, Jim Cornette. I cannot see any Trump supporter biting the bullet and listening to Jim Cornette as much as he talks about his hatred of Trump. Now, I agree with Jim Cornette, you know, on his political views. But that's just me. And he talks so much shit. And there are people that actually email him and say, hey, I love you, Jim Cornette, but can you stop talking about politics? You know? And so I kind of get it, man. And that's the other thing. Some musicians do not give two shits about politics. Yeah, Bob Weir and everyone, you know, back Obama and back Biden and all that. Now, they started the SAVA Foundation and the Rex Foundation, you know, in the 80s with Wavy Gravy and Jackson Browne and all that shit. So yeah, they kind of got political as far as the 80s. But if you talk about 60s Grateful Dead, when they were in Haight-Ashbury, the last thing they cared about is people's views. They don't care about that shit. They just wanted to be able to live a good life. They were happy in Haight-Ashbury doing what they were doing. They didn't need the record companies. They had a scene. They were at the center of it, you know? And they could give two shits about what was going on in the world. And sometimes musicians feel that way. And I I agree with it sometimes. But then, you know, I also like musicians that speak out. So it's, for me, that part of it is a double-edged sword. Because sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't. And I can see both sides of the coin, and I see people's views. And you're alienating half your audience sometimes. So with that said, hey, let's take a little pause for the cause, and I'll come back to you here after these messages.
Hey, this is Kevin Kleinrock from Masked Republic and the Keeping It 100 with Conan podcast, and you're listening to Rock and Wrestling Local 420. Make sure you tune in every week.
Hey, it's Pat Kelly of the West Coast Wrestling Connection and the Golf Guys Radio Show, and you're listening to my buddy, Cosmic Chris, Rock and Wrestling Local 420.
Hey, everybody, this is Radical Russ Belleville, and you're listening to Rock and Wrestling Local 420, Union Proud.
Hey, folks, let me tell you about DDP Yoga. At a time in my life not so long ago, I was suffering from Hep C as well as diabetes and well over 300 pounds. And a friend of mine sent me a YouTube video of this man, Arthur Borman. He was a paratrooper that had been told he would never walk again without the use of crutches. He gave DDP Yoga a try and is now one of DDP's leading success stories, as well as helping such people as Scott Hall, Chris Jericho, Gabriel Iglesias, Corey Taylor, Jake the Snake Roberts, Stevie Richards, and countless others. Diamond Dallas Page originally developed DDP Yoga for athletes such as himself who had suffered years of injury due to high-impact sports. When he ruptured his L4 and L5 spinal discs during the height of his professional wrestling career, he was so desperate to keep his childhood dream alive that he was willing to try anything. So he tried yoga for the first time. I know firsthand the benefits that DDP Yoga has to offer. Because Dallas had experience in many forms of fitness, he quickly learned how different yoga was from other traditional workouts. Soon, he started mixing elements of yoga with his rehab as well as traditional workout principles. For almost a decade, he has refined his program and has become a master at teaching it to others. DDP has saved my life. I encourage you to buy the discs as I have. Go to ddpyoga.com or you can download the DDP Yoga Now app. You can do it anywhere you want. He has cooking segments, live daily workout segments. I encourage you to check it out. Start living a healthier life. And hey, this ain't your mama's yoga.
This is Hotshot Danny Duggan. You're listening to Rock and Wrestling Local 420.
Oh, yeah. What another glorious way to start off segment two of the Rock and Wrestling Local 420 podcast. Now, I said last night in the first segment that I was going to, you know, talk about wrestling. There's a couple things I kind of forgot to talk about that I wanted to talk about before I get into the wrestling. And one is, it's bumming news. And for anyone that loves music in as far as Reno, Nevada, anyone that loves stand-up comedy, anyone that loves MMA or professional wrestling, Jub Jubs has decided they cannot survive. And we tried to save Jub Jubs, but it's not working. And it's not just because of COVID, although COVID is 92.3% of it. There's other aspects of the whole thing. Like the week before the lockdown happened, the owner of the building died. So that had nothing to do with COVID. That just was, oh, fuck. And then next thing you know, the lockdown happens, which was only supposed to be for 2 weeks. Now venues all over the country are dying because of this shit. So it's sad to see Jub Jubs go. If any of my listeners are rich and want to help keep Jub Jubs alive, then get a hold of me. because, yeah, it's the best fucking venue in Northern Nevada, in Reno, man. It's there used to be some great stages all over this town, but this was really the last of the great stages in this town. And it's sad. You could put a wrestling show on in there. You could put an MMA show. You could throw on a film and play a movie when they brought down the screen. You could fucking have concerts in there, all ages shows too, not just 21 and over. You know, GWAR, Sepultura, Havoc, so many fucking bands have played Jub Jubs. ICP loves Jub Jubs. Kyle Gass loves Jub Jubs. Who else? Afro Man. Every fucking year, Afro Man would come to Jub Jubs. Like, the list is fucking endless, man, of all the people that loved Jub Jubs. I saw Death Angel there. I mean, 7 Seconds played there. So many good punk rock bands, metal bands, jam bands, fucking just so many good bands. And it sucks. And like I said, if you're within earshot, man, and you can help us, because as of New Year's Eve, Jubs is shutting down. And they say, well, why don't they just keep the bar in the back? Well, that's fine, but they don't want to be just bar owners. They bought the venue to be venue owners. And that's what they wanted to do. And for 10 years, they brought, like, the best music here. And so, last shout out to Jub Jubs. I'm really sad over it. And hey, I'm going to end right there as far as Jub Jubs, because I'm going to start crying, if anything else. And, but there was a couple other things in music that I wanted to talk about. I read this last night and I forgot to talk about it, so this is why I'm bringing it up now. Over the weekend, MSNBC reported that Bob Dylan died. And Bob Dylan's alive and well, by the way, just so you know. I mean, he's up there in age, late 70s, 80s, I don't know, but he's pretty fucking old, you don't get me wrong, you know? But he's not dead. And I don't even think he's sick. So, he's not dead. And so MSNBC, just like I was saying with do your research on the Blabbermouth thing that I was talking about last night. Do your research, man. Make sure. Before you start, you know, this is CNN. This is MSNBC. This is Fox News. Major news channels. Oh, Bob Dylan's dead. Wait, he's not? So they issued a public apology. And, yeah. So I just think that's fucking funny. And now, before I get into the wrestling, one last thing I want to comment on, and I am going to rant like a motherfucker. I could not believe this when I checked. Last night was the AMAs. Now, they have pop rock and all that stuff, and it's like, you can't even call it. Now, the AMAs were started by Dick Clark. I think that's vaguely important, so I'd like to repeat that. Dick fucking Clark, one of the kind of founders, radio DJs founders of rock and roll. American Bandstand, dude. Dick fucking Clark, rocking New Year's Eve, which is another fucking farce, because there's no rock music in it. There's nothing. And the AMAs, for the best rock, pop rock, Justin fucking Bieber. And here's the thing. The nominees were Justin Bieber, The Weeknd, and BTS, who I don't know who the fuck that is. It's K-pop. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. And somebody fucking else. I think Jonas Brothers, who, if you want to call them rock, just because they play guitar. But, dude, and then as far as females, fucking Taylor Swift. And this is not a knock on Justin Bieber or Taylor Swift. I just couldn't fucking believe it. The best, oh yeah, the best rock band was BTS or SKB or whatever the fuck it's called. They won the best pop rock. And I'm just like, oh my God. I cannot believe this. And the needle, or the straw that broke the fucking camel's back for me. Not one fucking mention of Eddie Van Halen. One of the biggest fucking rock gods in history. Up there with Jimi Hendrix. Eric Clapton. Not one fucking mention of him. They could have at least say, hey, yeah, you know, because at least, you know, the farce of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame actually still does rock and roll. So, you know, you got to give them some sort of credit because they're at least, you know, but the Grammys, all that shit, all these things, they how can they even call themselves at all have anything to do with rock and roll? And it just, Dick Clark would be rolling over in his fucking grave if he knew what they were doing to his shit right now. And I'm just like, how can you not at least mention the death of Eddie Van Halen? I mean, I don't know what else to say. Like, are you fucking serious? What the fuck kind of institution have they turned into where all these fucking morons, you know, want to fucking think they know what rock and roll is? Because it's just, you know, it's sickening and it's fucking disrespectful. You know, they should change the name. American Music Awards. Well, you know what? Music was kind of built on fucking rock and roll. Rock and roll was built on country, bluegrass, the blues, fucking, you know, I want to say giggity, but that's not the word I'm looking for. Doo-wop, soul music. You know, that's what rock and roll was built on. And music wasn't even really super famous globally until Elvis shook his ass on fucking on the Ed Sullivan Show. So you got to forgive me. I've been doing whippets for the last fucking 3 hours, 4 hours. So my voice is kind of fucked up. And I've had a couple balloons pop on me. So now I'm out of balloons, but I still got 50 more capsules. So it's kind of funny. But I got a whipped cream charger, but that doesn't do much for me. So I'd rather huff a balloon on Shakedown Street. But I can't because of the fucking COVID. So, all right. I want to talk a little bit about wrestling because I am just going to give myself a heart attack or an aneurysm if I keep on this AMA thing, because it's just fucking sickening and disrespectful. And how dare they? How fucking dare they? So, let's see. A few things I've noticed in the news. Let's see. What was some of the headlines? More wrestlers react to Joe Biden defeating Donald Trump to become the president. I think that's fucking funny. Nyla Rose wants to become Nyla Two Belts. That's fucking stupid. I'm not even going to comment on that because that's just a stupid headline. They're just trying to do Becky Two Belts and Bailey. What was Bailey's? Dos Straps or something? Bailey Dos Straps? Oh, yeah, totally. Let's see. There was a few things in here that I noted that I wanted to talk on. Let's see here. Okay. Brandi Rhodes apparently posted a new bikini photo. Okay. I don't see why that's serious news. Hulk Hogan comments on Vince McMahon meeting the Undertaker's Suburban Commando movie. Meeting the Undertaker? Okay, I think it's, he talks about McMahon meeting the Undertaker, and he talks about the Suburban Commando movie. Okay. Let's see. This is what, I thought this was interesting. I did not know that Ring of Honor is back. I thought it was still all those fucking shows about the wrestlers because of the COVID. But apparently, Mike Bennett and Maria Kanellis have returned to Ring of Honor. So I might have to start checking some Ring of Honor back out, knowing that it's there's new episodes of it. So that is interesting. Sami Zayn comments on how he hates Trump because Trump is stealing his heel gimmick by ranting and raving about stupid shit. I think that's fucking hilarious. Oh, God, what were some of those other ones that I saw? Chris Jericho reveals why he calls The Undertaker the Fonz of WWE. He was the Fonz of the WWE. Hey! No, The Undertaker totally is the Fonz of the WWE. If I had anything to say about it. Let's see, backstage news, okay, no. Impact Wrestling News, apparently Kenzie Page signs a contract with Scott D'Amore. I don't know who Kenzie Page even is, so you might, but I don't. If you know, comment in the comment section, because I have no idea who she is. Let's see here. Rob Scamberger officially launches a licensed WWE gallery. And I have not finished Raw tonight, but apparently Nikki Cross versus Alexa Bliss is set for tonight's Raw. I've only seen about half of it, and it was all right. I will talk on Survivor Series, but let me get through some of these news and stuff like that. Okay. Sami Zayn comments on Kaylee Ray hits title milestone. I don't know who Kaylee Ray is. Maybe somebody else, so I don't really know. XFL thanks fans and says announcements are coming. Also, what else? Adam Pearce reacts to his Drew McFart flub during Raw. I didn't know that. That's kind of funny. Let's see. Big triple threat, number one contender. Match set for next week's Raw. Oh, no, it doesn't look like there's too much in the news that I can see. But I did want to offer my opinion on Survivor Series, which was okay. I skimmed through a lot of it, but the matches that I did see that I really liked, I definitely... here's what... On the women's match, WWE... Or SmackDown versus Raw... I said, you know what? I think SmackDown's going to win. I honestly think it, because I don't think that Raw's going to get it together. And then I also said, right after I said that to myself, I said, you know what? Somehow, I think Lana's going to win. I think Lana will be the reason that Raw wins. And lo and behold, Lana was the last surviving member, and she won. And it and Nia Jax... is fucking hot. It's so fucking funny. I loved that finish. I think it was a great finish because she never really got ejected from the ring. So, I think it's Nia Jax and Bayley excluded themselves somehow or something. And I could be wrong on who that was, but I think that. And then when they looked at, they were counted out. Right then, Lana walks back into the ring, apparently. So, I was just blown away. I thought it was a great finish. I thought it was a swerve, and I like swerves. But I also saw that coming. Like I said, I bet you somehow Lana ends up winning the fucking thing, and she did. So, kudos to Lana. They're obviously still pushing her, I mean, Miro is not pissing them off enough for them to fire her. They're still pushing her if she wins. They're not going to have her win if they're trying to punish her for shit Miro's saying. So, The Undertaker, it was cool, but it was cheesy as fuck. I didn't expect this. I expected something different, like maybe The Fiend to come out or something. But it was your average. They brought out like 15 legends. The Godfather, Savio Vega. Who were the tag teams again? I forgot the name. Old Schoolers from the 80s.
It was Vega.
But I can't remember who the tag team was.
Vega, Pig, and Hog.
Yeah, those guys. What were the team name?
I don't know.
Or no, they were brothers. They're the same name. Oh fuck! I forget who they were. Who they are? But they had a lot of people come. I mean, Triple H, Shawn Michaels.
It was that BSK crew.
Yeah, all the BSK crew. Rikishi came out. Mick Foley came out.
DX.
Well, just only two members of DX. I mean, Triple H and Kevin Nash wasn't in. He was in the NWO.
No, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and Kevin Nash. DX and Kevin Nash.
Only two members of DX. DX has like five or six members.
I know, but...
And Kevin Nash was never a member of DX.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Okay, because you can't say DX came out, because DX did not come out. Shawn Michaels came out and Triple H. That's two members of them. But with that said, here's the thing. In your defense, that is three members of the Click who started DX and NWO, because it wasn't until Kevin Nash and Scott Hall left WWF and formed the NWO out of the Click. Same thing with DX, was formed out of the Click. So he's half right. Yeah, exactly. But with that said, they had a bunch of legends come out, and everyone, oh, yeah, hugging each other. Oh, it's great. Yeah, yeah, good to see you, man. JBL and fucking just all sorts of motherfuckers. And then it breaks to commercial. We come back from commercial. Vince McMahon is standing in the ring alone, and he goes on about The Undertaker. And then, ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, The Undertaker! And it takes literally Undertaker with the bells and the blue lights and all that shit. Takes him a good 5 to 7 minutes of his entrance. It's fucking hilarious. And I'm just like, really, really? Like, come on, dude. Going 10 seconds ahead, 10 seconds ahead, 10 seconds ahead. Really? The thing is still... And so it took at least 7 or 8 minutes before he even uttered a word. And he had a good 5-10 minute speech. And then he walked away. And that was the end of the show. I'm like... I felt like Bill Burr complaining about shit. It's like, what the fuck? Yeah, the one thing they did have is cool is he did this kneel thing, and they CGI'd this image, ghostly image of Paul Bearer, and that looked fucking cool. I got to admit, I was totally, and they had his voice. Oh, so my Undertaker. It was fucking cool. It brought that actually brought a tear to my eye. I was like, now that's fucking class. But really, the whole thing, the last 10 minutes of everything was just like, they could have done better. Survivor Series was all right. I don't think it was anything special. I did think some of the matches were cool. I gotta admit it, man. Truth got beat by Gobbledygook, which we have no idea who that is. And then they set a trap of birdseed for him, kind of like fucking the Roadrunner and the Wile E. Coyote, so that was kind of funny. But that was in the pre thing. And then later on, Truth got the belt back. Got his baby back. And Drew McIntyre lost to Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns, I mean, they kicked the shit out of each other. That was a decent match. But I told my nephew, I honestly didn't care who won. I think it'd be cool if Drew McIntyre won. I think it'd be cool if fucking Roman Reigns won because if you're going to keep, you know, running with the heel gimmick, you can't just let off the steam now. So, you know, it is what it is. I thought it was a good match no matter who won. Roman Reigns won. I was happy. I would have been happy if Drew won. You know, I can't complain. So, with all that said about... Oh, you know what? Before I go... Oh, my God. AEW did not really impress me this last week. But, like MJF said, he's taking everybody to Vegas. And he did. He showed up, and even Conan made an appearance. It was so awesome. Conan shows up with the Inner Circle, and there's all seven members of the Inner Circle. It's fucking great. And even Sammy and MJF kind of were cuddling up with each other. It was kind of nice. They weren't so hostile. And they started doing the walk, and it was just like the movie The Hangover. They're on the roof of this building, and fucking MJF starts going, oh, you know, I feel like you're my brothers here. I've always wanted a wolf pack. And he goes, I feel like we're blood brothers. And MJF does, I got a knife. And he starts to cut his hand. They're all, no! And then they're like, all we wanted to do was do, oh, and howl at the moon like a wolf pack. And so it was kind of funny. And so it shows them all stumbling, you know, like they're obviously drunk. Because they got out of this car. Conan got up stoned. So the limo opens up like the bus from Ridgemont High with Sean Penn and fucking Eric Stoltz. It's fucking hilarious. And so they get out of the limo, the smoke's going, and they're walking just like the scene in The Hangover. And then they wake up the next day. The room's all fucked up. Sammy's in some bathtub doing something or fountain or something. I don't know. I can't remember. And then they open up the fucking door and, you know, just like The Hangover, they find a baby. The baby is fucking Swoggle, dude, in a diaper and all sorts of shit. It was cheesy. It was funny, but do they always got to make midgets look like babies? I mean, I know they're small and little people, but come on, dude. I just thought that was stretching it. They could have done something other, but they wanted it to be like The Hangover, so they made him a baby. And that's kind of where it ended. I didn't see anything after that. So next week, hopefully they'll get back to it. Maybe this is entering Swoggle somehow. But that was the best part of AEW. As far as storyline, that was the only thing I gave a fuck about was the MJF stuff. I think they're trying to make Kenny Omega look cool, finally. But I know it's a slow process because they've had a year to make him look cool. They haven't done shit with him. I think he's getting tired of it. That's why. So, yep, that was the wrestling segment. Let's take one more break. And then I'll get back after you, or I'll get back to you after these messages.
So this is Greg Golden from the Greg Golden Band, Bizarre Guitar in Reno, Nevada, and you're listening to Rock and Wrestling Local 420. Those guys rock.
Hotline.
Hello.
What up?
What's up? I'm not sure that I want to live anymore. That's what's up.
Hotline.
I need someone to talk to.
Call your mom.
My mother died last year.
Serves her right, bitch! I'm just playing, fucknuts. Listen, whenever you're feeling low, just page me and I'll call you.
You will?
Sure. I'll call you a nerdy bitch for bothering me! Now, don't blow your fucking head off!
Why not? Who cares if I do?
The poor guy who's gotta clean that shit up. If you're gonna do it, do it outside or something!
You think I won't really do it, don't you?
Honestly, I can give a rat's ass!
You think I won't, huh? You think I'm kidding? You think
Do it! Do it, fucker! Bring me the gun, I'll fucking do it for you! you there?
Hello?
I knew you wouldn't do it, you scary bitch!
Hello?
Somebody page me.
Hi.
Who the fuck is this?
It's me. You said I could page you.
No. You misunderstood me. I said fuck you. Nobody cares if you're dead or alive, so go fuck yourself.
Okay, call me later. Bye.
C. D. F. 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 3 weeks we've been talking about the Platt Amendment. What are you people? On dope?
Hey, this is Jim Brunberg from the band Vox Set. I had a really great time talking with Chris from Rock and Wrestling Local 420. Check it out. It's a great show.
Hey, we are back. This is the closing segment of the show. Hope you enjoyed this show. I am finally recording that interview. I have set a time and a date of next Monday to record it. So it'll be within about a week before I can edit it down and play the interview for you with Chef Nikki from Mystic Meals out of North Hollywood. We're going to talk about rock and roll experiences we've had together because we go back over 20 years. She's one of my best friends. I love Chef Nikki. I was friends with her long before she ever became a famous world chef. And we're going to talk about the Deep State Cabal and the Hollywood vampires and all the weird shit that goes on in Hollywood, because she don't live in Reno anymore. She lives in fucking LA. And I don't know if she lives in Hollywood proper or LA proper or what, but she lives down there. So we're going to talk about stuff and it's going to be fun. So look forward to that in a couple weeks. I'm still trying to line up another interview with the grappler Len Denton, as well as Chad from the Two Man Power Trip on coming back. I did text with Caleb Conley and he said now that he's actually signed to Impact, I might have to, I don't know. So that's might take a while, but, hey man, time to do some shout outs. And one of the people I wanted to shout out is, I don't know this guy from Adam, but I'm a huge fan of his show, his YouTube channel. And it's Jamel, a.k.a. Jamal. J-A-M-E-L, a.k.a. J-M-A-L. And he does music reactions, kind of like the two guys in Lost in Vegas. And man, I love this guy. He does USA for Africa. He does Slayer. He does The Grateful Dead. He does Johnny Cash. All sorts of anybody under the sun, man. Metallica, Megadeth, Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses. I have yet to see him do, like, and I've seen him do Allman Brothers too, so I want to see him do more jam bands, pardon me. But, you know, like I said, my voice is killing me because I've been doing whippets all night, so forgive me. But, man, check out his fucking show, man. And tell him Cosmic Chris from the Rock and Wrestling Local 420 podcast sent you. And I would love to interview this guy because this guy gets it. All he's doing is listening to live Grateful Dead and shit like that. And he's done a bunch of Grateful Dead songs, like 10 Grateful Dead songs. But he's listened to the Segways. He's listened to China Ryder, Scarlet Fire, stuff like that. He did the Touch of Grey, you know, so he does some studio stuff, but he listens to the people and he checks the comments, he reads the comments, and he actually listens to what they say, like, hey, if you like that, you should check out that. And then he does it. And so, man, shout out to that guy, man. I would love to get him on my show. And if you like his show, like I said, comment, tell him about me, tell him that you think he should be on my show, because I would love to fucking interview that guy. I'd like to interview the guys in Lost in Vegas too, but seriously, Jamel, that motherfucker, I can tell, he's a beautiful soul. He's a positive guy. He listens to the poetry of the Grateful Dead. He listens to Slayer and understands the lyrics. You know, he understands why they sound the way they sound. And man, he listens to the vibe. More so than anything, the vibe. Where's it going? And he talks like he can tell when you listen to Scarlet Fire, you're going on a journey. A half an hour later, you're like, whoa, I didn't even know where the last song ended and the new song began. And he knows that. So he knows that he needs to go to a show because he says, I could just picture, you know, being at a show just on that trip, you know. And shout out to the guys. So, hey, man, Jamal, check out his show. Jamal, a.k.a. Jamel. Or Jamel, a.k.a. Jamal. And let's see. As always, Brian Zane from Wrestling With Regret. I wouldn't have this show without him. He's such an inspiration to me. Check out his shows, www.wrestlingwithregret. And also, John and Chad from the Two-Man Power Trip of Wrestling podcast here on Podomatic. A Podomatic family. And they've got an umbrella on Podomatic. And so they have some different podcasts. So if you go to the Realm Network, Russo's brand, they also have a podcast there called the Triple Threat Podcast with the franchise Shane Douglas on Russo's brand. And I'm a brand member. I love the brand. I listen to a few different podcasts. One of the things I wanted to shout out when I was talking about earlier in the podcast, when I was talking about attempting suicide again, and hey, like I said, get help if you need it. But one of the things that gets me going is Vince Russo's the podcast that he does that says That's Life. And I've talked about it before. He talks about the spirituality of, you know, God and finding God and just that life is more important than just wrestling. You know, and it's not just about wrestling, it's about anything, man. Your family, your life, it's very, very precious. And don't, you know, take it for granted for a minute, man. Because, man, it's such a beautiful thing. I love waking up every day because even when I'm depressed, by the time I wake up the next day, I wake up in a good mood unless some motherfucker puts me in a bad mood. And hey, I don't wake up in a bad mood. I'm not one of those guys. I'm not cranky in the morning. I mean, I'm not saying it never happens, but 9 times out of 10, I feel fine. Other people may be dicks in the morning, but I'm usually not. I'm a little groggy. It takes me a couple hours to wake up, but I'm not in a bad mood. And yeah, so with that said, That's Life is such an inspiration, and I urge you to check out the brand and check out Triple Threat Podcast on the brand. Also, Chad's got a podcast called Declassified, where he breaks old Raw episodes down, and it's just great, man. So check out the Two-Man Power Trip of Wrestling umbrella. They also talk, going back, I digress to the brand again, check out Bin Hameen and Papa Don and Stevie Richards on the Conspiracy Horseman podcast. I love that show. Dude, Hameen Media Group, dude, hats off to him. I love this fucking guy. He's so fucking into it, you know? Let's see. Also, another shout out that I want to shout out to my boy, Jeff Aiken, Starfleet Leadership Academy. And from the West Coast Wrestling Connection, he breaks down old Star Trek episodes and of any of the series, doesn't matter. And it's just a great show. Starfleet Leadership Academy, Jeff Aiken, check his show out. If you want to follow me on the Twitter, follow me at Dropping the G, Punchin' Baby Yoda. So follow me on Twitter at Punchin' Baby Yoda, and let me know what you think. I'm most active on Instagram with Punching Baby Yoda. Straight up, one word, Punching Baby Yoda. That's where I'm most active, and you can listen to a lot of my rants and a lot of pictures that I post. Let's see, you can find me on Facebook. Facebook.com/rockandwrestlinglocal420. Check out the YouTube channel. Ring the bell. Subscribe. YouTube, Rock and Wrestling Local 420. You know, same thing. You can email us at Gmail, rockandwrestlinglocal420 at gmail.com. Submit music. Let me know what you sound like. If you give me permission to play music, then I can also still play it on YouTube and get away with it because I have permission. So I take submissions all the time. I love playing new music from people. I try only to play stuff that I have permissions for nowadays because I'm not trying to get flagged anymore. If you were a fan of my show a year and a half ago, you know my show was more like a radio show and talk. So, but hey, hopefully you like this episode. Hopefully you like every episode, every week. And I keep coming, you know. So, hey, I keep coming back because of you. And I don't have a huge audience, but the audience I do have, I love. A lot of my friends listen to the show, at least. That shows me that people actually care. So, hey, shout out to you. Till next week. See ya!